Life support is nominal. The oxygen danger indicator level is yellow. Please remember that this is a non-smoking pirate ship.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to GameIndustry.com's The Gin Lounge. I'm John Breeden, your chief lounge lizard, and your host for this episode of the show. Today, we're going to be talking about Gamergate and other controversies, so fasten your seatbelts and get ready for a wild one. Joining me in the lounge today is Shella and Todd, two of the Gin's firebrands, to explain what the heck is going on. So, Todd, Shella, welcome to the lounge today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So Todd has covered this what's been going on this week. I hate weeks like this because I like happy weeks. I like weeks. I would so much rather be talking about Destiny coming out this week than anything else.
I'm starting to think it's still overhyped.
I don't know. I've been playing it. I've been playing it, but I could only play a couple hours last night, and then it got too late. So I'm going back to it. The problem for me is that with Destiny is that I played the beta, so I've leveled like 15 characters. So now I'm going through the same 8 levels again. I'm like, oh my god, can I just get to the new content?
I thought I was bad next. I was playing on the next one last night, and right now I'm installing the PS4 version. Well, I think I would turn that again. God. By the way, nice how it takes forever to transfer content.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So anyway, Shella wanted to write about in her column this week, and Todd's written about it twice. But let's explain what's going on. Shella, why don't you give us a quick background on at least one of the controversies, and then we'll get into it and see what's going on here.
Okay, so I went on holiday for a week, 2 weeks ago.
That's always when all the stuff hits the fan.
Yeah, exactly. I come back, and it's like Armageddon. It's like, you know, just like Twitter feeds, everything. And it took me like a few days to actually sort of like filter down through all the things to find out what actually happened. It's the Zoe Quinn Gamergate thing was basically a game developer had an ex-lover who obviously felt like a jilted lover, had a rant on his blog about her supposed sexual exploits, one of them being with a games journalist who then reviewed her game. I haven't read the blog post, so this is all second, third, fourth hand, as far as I know it. And I think the blog's been actually taken down.
It's a 100-page manifesto, so it's going to take you a while to read that.
Oh, right. Okay. So, yeah, the guy's clearly a bit...
it's hardly a blog when it's that
exactly.
big.
The girl, Zoe Quinn, was... basically had one of these nasty online attacks that we've seen in recent years in the games industry and other industries as well. And it was under the pretext that this was, you know, uncovering, you know, some deep-rooted corruption within the games industry because developers and journalists, shock horror, might actually know each other and be friends. It's like, yeah. I don't know if they think that there's a wall between. I don't know what these people were thinking, the games and how it's structured. It's like, they think there was like barbed wire between journalists and game developers or something. So anyway, they thought, you know, but that was all a ruse, of course, to just attack a woman and be misogynistic, death threats. As far as I know, she still can't live in her house because she's scared. Because the upshot of it was that she got doxxed, which is a term that I had to then Google.
Let's put it this way. I've been doxxed once before.
Okay.
Yeah, Todd was doxxed for his gin activities, so we definitely know what doxxed is.
Okay,
but
some
ahead.
People might not. That's when your personal details are posted online, usually for the express purpose for threats and
apparently
needs to be targeted.
Well, what I'm going through here is this is all. First of all, I'm going to mention everyone. This is all alleged. We're not accusing anyone. We're not blaming. We're not pointing the finger at anybody. I'm on knowyourmeme.com, which is explaining the whole origin behind what's known as Quinspiracy. Apparently, this all started with a site called WizardChan. I've never heard of the site before until this incident occurred. Zoe Quinn claimed claimed allegedly that they doxed her. But they provide a whole bunch of images saying, proving that she was not doxed by them. And shortly after, another indie game developer I've mentioned several times in the past, Phil Fish, who is a friend of her, of Zoe's, went back to one of his usual Twitter rampages and started calling those who attacked her cowards. And, well, some of the stuff I'd rather not say, but then you remember what he did with Fez 2?
Yeah, well, he's the developer of Fez, and I guess he was developing Fez 2, and then decided not to because he hates the industry now, apparently. Yeah. And he's the free game on PlayStation Network this week.
As protest, I downloaded it, but I'm not playing it. It's not my PS4 and collect dust.
I played it. It's not a bad game. I mean, it's an okay game. I wouldn't call it revolutionary or anything.
Tweets start going around like, I just canceled a project you don't even know about. And another one.
Yeah, didn't he say anyone could buy his company for like a penny or something like that?
I was going to get to that later.
Oh, okay. So Shelley, your point though is, not so much, what Zoe Quinn did or didn't do, but more so the response of, I guess we have to call them gamers. I mean, why else would anybody, you know, basically attacking her, regardless of whatever she was doing to get good reviews or wasn't doing to get good reviews, that the response was basically over the top and out of bounds.
Well, yeah, I don't think anybody could say otherwise. I mean, that's, if a woman had written a 100-page rant on her blog about some games developer being a complete hoe tramp of a man and sleeping around the industry, and that's, you know, that's how he gets any positive reviews, I think those same people would have dismissed her, would have attacked her and dismissed her as, you know, a crazy, you know, paradigm. Let's face it, that's the double standard here. So it wasn't anything to do with what she might or might not have done. It was the fact that she had tits.
Ah, I see. Now, Todd, question for you. Because I saw in your column there was, you had sent me that list of game reviewers who we weren't supposed to watch anymore. Did that have anything to do with this, or is that a separate controversy?
I'm trying to remember that list.
It was a list. It was like who not to.
List? No,
yeah,
this has nothing to do with that.
Okay. All right. So that was
Public Enemy's List was another form of corruption I wrote about. No, this is a completely different list. I mentioned off the air one person's name, and he was one of the biggest ones that got most criticism for the review because it was posted on two of his sites where he gave Depression Quest a positive review.
Okay. And Depression Quest is the name of the game that Zoe
That's
Quinn
correct.
Made. All right, okay. And it's on Steam?
It's
on
a text-based indie game that has been published via Steam Greenlight. It's available for free, so anyone can take a look at it.
Okay. Well, maybe what we should do is take a look at it and see if it's any good or not.
It'd be
terrible. It'd be terrible if I played it and actually liked it. Then I'd be like, oh, man. I can't review it. People think I got favors from her. So, which I suppose is the problem that she's having right now.
Yeah, and as a result of all that's been going on, the new term social justice warrior has been evolved.
Okay,
they
what's that?
Anyone who, individuals like Quinn and Fish that are claiming that they should enforce what people say. In fact, there was something I found here. There's a YouTuber I watch named JonTron, and he made a couple tweets about Zoe Quinn. I'm going to try to do this in his voice. He kind of talks like Nathan Lane in his videos. I met Zoe Quinn back during Game Jam, and all I can say, she has nothing to start an internet controversy over. And no, sir, that is not a compliment. Objectively, though, I can see the argument people have about keeping journalism free and open. Very valid complaints.
Huh. Interesting.
There's also something else that I wanted to mention. This is one of the biggest issues that's come out with Zoe Quinn. there was a group called Defiant Young Capitalists. They were going to do something called Game Jam. And apparently Zoe Quinn wrote to them criticizing it. So, I mean, it's, like I said, it's a feminist group as well. That was the, I'm trying to find the information here. It's not coming out. Well, I'll get back to it, but once I find it, I'll let you know.
Okay, well, back over to Shella's point, though. Shella, this whole thing with, I mean, whatever happened or didn't happen, I mean, this is kind of something that you've been talking about for a while, though. You can build the controversy on, journalists and game developers should have a wall between them or whatever, and that puts a very noble spin on it. But really, I think your point is if Zoe Quinn was Nathan Quinn or something like that, then it wouldn't, you don't think it would have really happened the way it
absolutely
happened.
Not. We wouldn't even be discussing it, and I'm quite concerned about Todd's approach, which is finding little tidbits here and there on the web that discredit her character in some way, that she might have been bitchy to some feminist group, and because they're feminist it means that they can't lie and that what they're saying is truth. And the fact is that is completely irrelevant, whether she's a nice person, whether she's a nasty person, how many men she slept with, how good her game is. The fact is she was attacked, really viciously online by people that consider themselves part of a community, which is part of an industry we're in. That's the end, really. And we can sit here wondering about whether she's a good person or not. But, even if she's nasty and, litters, it never, excuses that behavior.
I would never endorse anything like that. Don't ever think that. I mean, I'm not saying that she should be attacked. Believe me, I've been through that crap myself. I've seen my friends and family be attacked, but because of some stuff they don't believe in.
Okay, so yeah, but I think we needed to make that clear, because whether she attacked, was mean to some feminists or not is kind of irrelevant, really, because the big picture is this real undercurrent, this very vocal minority, which is
but yeah, I can understand
misrepresenting our community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing, and Todd got into that a little bit about in his second column about gamer, basically the vocal minority that Shell is talking about that attacked Zoe Quinn and did these things. They sort of made gamers look bad, basically. Yeah, it's good to hear Shella say that they are a minority, because I think they are. I don't think gamers are really like that. I mean, I know many, many, many gamers, and I don't know anyone that would attack a woman based on that or anything else, really. I mean, I don't know if you guys do or not, but it's not been my experience.
You haven't listened online, then.
Well, that's true. Well, so you see that online, Todd, right? Like, when you go on, are you talking like Xbox Live, like when you're gaming, or do you just mean like surfing the web?
Mostly on
Xbox
Live, but also if you check some of the posts on Facebook, they get really bad.
So maybe, so Todd, in your opinion, is it a minority, or are our gamers like that? I mean,
it's leaning towards a minority, and halfway between minority and mainstream. I mean, I wrote to on a friend of mine when he did a rant on this. I told her basically these people on YouTube and on Facebook use the cloud of ambiguity and anonymity as a strong weapon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they think that because they can hide behind their keyboard, because they can cloud their microphone with a voice alterer, they can get away with saying anything they want. Try saying that to someone's face. I'm sure they're going to get a black eye as a result, or worse.
Huh. It's almost like the old days when people used to do prank calling, and it was okay because you could almost never get caught.
Caller ID
and now Yeah, yeah, caller ID.
It happened to me. Caller ID turned to be an awesome weapon as well as tracing.
Yeah, and then Star 69, which is what we do, Shella, when you want to call somebody back who's just called
okay.
You can hit Star 69 and it calls the person back. So between that and caller ID, it pretty much ended the thing. But I guess online, I didn't realize that they were disguising their voices and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's no voice filter. I know it's at least on Xbox Live. I don't know if PSN has it.
They're probably using it to disguise the fact that they sound like 14-year-old boys.
Which majority of these people are.
Yeah, I think it's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, as far as the relationship, I think for some of our readers who aren't in the industry, you know, we're three journalists. Let's explain real quick, what is the relationship between developers and the press? I mean, it's certainly not animosity, but I mean, I don't think it's animosity in any industry. I mean, Shella, you deal with game developers. You know, you've met with them and stuff like that. I don't know if any of them are you know, your drinking buddies or anything, but I mean, it's pretty much a professional relationship, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, it is. I mean, because you have to have relationships with these people, otherwise we don't get to write about their games. We don't, you know, don't go to the, you have to speak.
Right.
And you know, some people you hit it off with, and some people, you know, you'd see people at events over and over again, and you had a good time last time, so you can meet up for a drink. And but you have to, there's always that line, that professional line that you maintain, which is that, you know, just because we drink, you know, at E3 or whatever it may be, or Gamescom or something, or it doesn't mean that I'm not going to give an honest opinion of your game, or you know, I mean, that's just the unwritten rule, isn't it? That every type of journalism in every industry has. And yeah, and that's it. I suppose we have more relationships with PRs than we might do with developers, because, you know, it'd be PR people for publishers, and then it would go to developers after that. But now that there are indie games, that kind of that publisher middleman is being cut out, so you've got a closer connection to developers than we've ever had, really.
Yeah, you brought the indie gamer part up, and I was about ready to mention that.
Yeah,
you're right. I mean, I think, like, if we're dealing with, like, Activision or something like that, like with for example, we talked about Destiny at the beginning of the show, because we're playing it, and yeah, I've gotten more contacts about Destiny than any other game in the past like 10 years. I mean, I've had 15 different PR people write me and, you know, send me posters and send me copies of the game and all that stuff, and, you know, invite me into the alpha and the beta and all that, and still I'm going to give it an objective review. But I think there's the PR people understand that, and so there's and we understand that as journalists, so there's sort of a professional thing. When you remove that, because an indie developer certainly isn't going to have a major PR firm
kills one of the major accusations that people make when it comes to reviews, the big accusation saying, oh, you got paid off to give that a good review. Oh, believe me, I hear that all the time.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I guess it happens, but I never have known anybody that's been paid for a review.
No, because, I mean, well, journalists are journalists because they are opinionated.
Right.
And they want the world to know about it and think their opinion is right. And other people should know this opinion. So to get paid for, I mean, I think that's going to be a very, very rare class of journalist that's going to be okay with being bought off to say a certain thing. I really do.
Well, I know. I mean, I mean, between the two of you, I get an earful full all the freaking time about stuff. And I know that there's no amount of money that I could use to change your two's opinion on anything.
Yeah, especially mine. I mean, you keep telling me how you need to stop being the next an X-bot there. I mean, I'm trying to learn, believe me.
Well, Todd, your Shella described her relationship with journalists and things. Yours is a little bit different. I mean, you make people cry at conventions.
Because I'm brutally honest. Hey, it's ironic you mentioned that, considering yesterday was the 15th anniversary of the Dreamcast.
That's right. No problem. But, Todd also, I think Shella makes some good points, but as the only person so far, and hopefully the only person ever, to be doxed and to receive death threats and things like that for your work on Jin, I'm sure you're against any type of activity about like that, whether it's a female or a male or not. It's just,
and how many sexual partners they may or may not have.
Yeah, that's right. The whole. I mean, I could care less how many people she slept with. That's private information. I mean, it's a fact saying I'm going to come there and I'm going to kill you. Mm. And that kind of brings up something else that occurred. Not only do we have the whole conspiracy, we had the PSN takedown. Attack that Lizard Squad did on the PlayStation Network. I mean, I've seen DDoS attacks before, but what they did to the head of Sony Online Entertainment went too far.
Well, yeah, calling in a death threat on his airplane. I mean, that's kind of you know, what's weird about that Lizard Squad, folks. Now, the Lizard Squad thing, I mean, they're a whole different class of people. I mean, we could do a whole different show on Lizard Squad, but you know, we've seen these groups pop up before, you know, that want to hack people and stuff like that. But this was weird because this was a group that popped up and their sole purpose seemed to be disrupting video games and disrupting gaming platforms and stuff. I mean, who the hell does that?
You'll know Tom on their hands.
But I'm just wondering, like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, is it because we're suddenly a very visual group? Or it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, a lot of times these hackers are gamers. Yeah. But now all of a sudden, now we're being attacked by.
And
them, so.
Like I said, that's a show for, or that's for another show, because I ended up going into fanboy wars.
Yeah.
I could write the whole story about that, because, I mean, they.
Well, Todd, you always get accused of being a fanboy.
It ended up turn out to be PC elitists. I don't want to use the term they always use because I find it offensive.
I'll explain it
to you after the show.
Okay, no problem. Well, I know you don't like to use those terms. I know you don't use X-Bone, which is a good thing.
That's why I say X-Bone. People with Comcast because they're triple play package, but
I doubt it. I think when people come to GameIndustry.com and see X-1, they know what the hell what we're talking about.
There's always that one person.
So Shella, was there any other incidents or anything that you wanted to bring up? I mean, I think we covered the Yeah, I think it was right. You know, I admit, before the show, I was a little hesitant to get into it. But I'm super glad that we did.
Admittedly, it's a hot topic, but I knew we weren't going to get any personal attacks for it because, like I said, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
And it is wrong what happened to Miss Zoe Quinn. I mean, you know, and Shella makes, I think the best point is it doesn't matter if her game was good or not, and it doesn't really matter if she did whatever she was supposed to do or whatever. I mean, the response was way out of proportion and way out of line. And I think people could be right to criticize her if they think that that's what happened, to say, hey, you know, you shouldn't have done that, or criticize the industry if that type of behavior is allowed. But I think it should stop it. There should never be a personal attack on anybody.
And I just don't think that was the point of their activity.
I think it was an excuse.
A screen.
Yeah. A false flag operation.
Yeah. False flag. Something else I've been.
Todd. So, all right. Well, let me ask you guys. I don't really have a final question prepared. I mean, I think this was a great show, and I think we talked about stuff. But I mean, what can we do? We're journalists. I mean, what can we do to prevent this type of activity from happening in the future? I mean, other than just trying to do our jobs in the best honest way that we can. I mean, I don't know what we can do. Todd, I'll ask you. What do you think? Is there anything that we can do?
The truth is, it's very difficult. As I said, these people hide behind anonymity. You can't yeah. be able, unless you're a well skilled hacker and be able to get their IP and dox them back in return. Which I'm not condoning or endorsing. I want you all to know there's really nothing that can be done.
Right. Well, Shella, what do you think? I mean, is there anything we can do to make, you know, this kind of terrible thing not happen?
I don't think there. Well, I think the industry can do is just carry on making the strides that it's making in terms of diversity, whether that's, you know, the staff in our companies and then the stories we tell. And then eventually we'll get to a point where having a woman make a game, be in a game, be a game producer, comment on games, have a black person, a gay person, whoever, comment on games, just be a normal part of the fabric of the games industry. And then these people will fade away, you know, because they'll become irrelevant. They'll become the generation that didn't understand how important diversity is. And I think also, as journalists, we can try and highlight the positive aspects of the game industry. Because Keith Stewart, who's the games one of the games journalists at the Guardian newspaper, he started a hashtag because I think he was fed up of just the misery we were wading through these last few weeks. And so his hashtag was hashtag We Love Games. And the mission was to do an at to a games developer and tell them a game of theirs that you loved and why you loved it. So I sent one to Charles Cecil saying thank you for Beneath a Steel Sky and Broken Sword. because you made me want to get into the games industry and write about games, and here I am. And I got a favorite from him today, so that was really nice.
Do me a favor and send one to Julian Gobb for making XCOM.
Well, you can do that yourself. I think we should all go out and do a hashtag We Love Games. And yeah, so Keith did a great thing there, and it started trending, at least in the UK it did, on Twitter. And I think we should show our developers some love.
we'll definitely do that. I will mention that in the write-up for this show, so that maybe we'll get some people to do that. So you go to the gamers, you put on your Twitter account a game that you liked, and then you use the hashtag We Love Gamers.
And then at whoever the developer is that did that game.
Good program. Good idea. Wow. Smart journalist you got over there in the UK, Shella.
That's what I know there's a group of developers who are starting an end the hate campaign here. I can't remember who they were. But yeah. I know it's like some of the bigger companies like EA, Konami, I think it's involved, Microsoft. Don't know if Sony was involved in that yet or not. I'd have to check.
It's just that this is a much more positive thing. It doesn't have the word hate in it. It's just... You know, without being a counter.
Yeah, it was counting. It said endthehate.com or hashtag endthehate.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to see more of that because, like I said, I just want to play. And that's the most important.
We just want to play games.
It is kind of funny. I mean, if you think about it, it's kind of like a playground, and people are like, well, I like the swings better. Well, I like the slides
literally
better.
It's turning into a bunch of schoolyard bullies.
I'm like, well, why don't we just swing a little bit, and then we'll go down the slide, and everyone will have a good time.
That sounds like a good idea.
All right, absolutely. All right, well, I'm going to go find a swing set, and so thank you guys for joining me today. I know this has been a rough couple weeks, but hopefully some of the stuff like what you guys mentioned, like with and the hate and you know the hashtag I love games and so forth, will help to. I'm always a big fan of taking a positive and getting a positive out of some negative stuff, and so let's hope that continues. Who knows, this might be the beginning of a brave new era. Let us know what you guys think. Our email address is ginlounge@gameindustry.com. We're also on Facebook, Pinterest, Google+, and Twitter, of course. We're at Twitter, we're at Gin Lounge, and on Google Plus and Facebook, you can find us at /GameIndustry. So easy enough to find it.
And
all
also, if I may, I'm going to plug my Twitch stream. I'm hoping to do some streaming of Destiny tonight. I haven't done that in a while.
Oh, okay. And how do they find your Twitch stream, Todd?
It'd be twitch.tv/snarcast, S-N-A-R-C-A-S-T. I'll hopefully be Twitch streaming more often. I know I've been kind of lax on it. I've had a lot going on, but
so I can watch you getting owned in Destiny by some of the Archons.
Yeah. Oh, I faced my first one last night. God, that was brutal.
I killed my first one, and I had set the level up to more difficult.
Yeah, it was kind of funny hearing Peter Dinklage at the end go, "Oh my God, you just killed an Archon." It's like, I guess, a trial by combat afterwards.
I do love Peter Dinklage.
I was shocked to hear him be in that. And also, a friend of mine actually did voice work. Matt Murphy.
Well, I tell you what, Todd, let's you and me agree to do a show on Destiny maybe next week.
Just kind of my schedule, sometimes I have to work my day off.
I know. All right, guys, thanks again. We'll talk to you next week right here at the Gin Lounge. Until then, people, please, be good to one another.
Yeah,